Solving people's problems is the subject of this fifth session of the Integrity Service Program. Creative problem solving is such an important part of successful living. It's something we do each day. Regardless of what dimension of life that you think about, you'll soon discover that problems are a part of it. When I was younger and faced with a problem, I'd think that as soon as I had this one solved, that I could then go on and live a problem-free existence. I just assumed that everything would be wonderful as soon as this one problem was solved. Well, as you can guess, that euphoric state of bliss where no problems existed never came. Life is a process of meeting challenging situations and moving through them. Life is problem solving.
You know, it's not uncommon to feel like our problems are bigger than they really are. Crisis usually seems like a more appropriate word when the challenge is right on top of you. I learned something interesting not too long ago about the word crisis. The way the word is written in the Chinese language, it has two characters which are combined to form the one word. One brushstroke stands for danger, the other stands for opportunity. I found that interesting. When you step back and try to analyze things without the emotions attached, problems, roadblocks, or crisis always have two parts, one positive, one negative. The positive represents opportunity, the negative represents danger. When we look at problems as opportunities to enjoy some benefit, we usually turn them into blessings or learning experiences. Several years ago, I read a statement written by William Law. He wrote, "If anyone could tell you the shortest route to all happiness and perfection, he would tell you to thank and praise God for everything that happens to you, for it is by this thankful spirit that you turn everything into a blessing." How we view problems and how we react to them has a lot to do with our fundamental values, our attitudes, and our sense of commitment. It's also making a decision about how you'll deal with stressful situations. Will you meet them head on, or will you duck or run away? Since problems usually create stress, and most of us don't like stress, our first emotional response is to reduce the tension by ignoring or running away from them. This is a natural response that successful people have learned to intervene and change.
Well, let's discuss for a few moments the steps of the problem-solving formula. They are, 1, understand the problem, and 2, identify the cause, 3, discuss possible solutions, 4, solve the problem. The first step seems simple enough, right? Understand the problem. This means to define what the problem is. Define the deviation or difference between what should have happened and what actually happened. Charles Kettering, one of the great problem solvers of the early 20th century, said, "A problem well stated is a problem half solved." The three action guides to help you understand a problem are, 1, get all the facts. 2, listen non-defensively. 3, repeat back problem as understood. How often have you thought you knew the cause or the solution to a problem, but when you got all the facts, you completely changed your mind? Getting all the facts caused you to have a completely different perspective. When your strategy is to get all the facts, you'll usually appear more professional. Can you imagine going to a doctor with an illness and he or she didn't ask a lot of questions or get information? You wouldn't be too impressed, would you? It's important to mention that when you're solving problems that involve negative feelings, the facts may come out of people's mouths distorted. This can happen because they often have them confused because of highly charged emotions. But when you get them to verbalize their problems, they often change their feelings. Verbalizing problems tends to change people's perspectives. It helps them vent their emotions and talk out negative feelings. And then when you listen non-defensively, you'll avoid conflicts. You'll also show your sincere desire to help people by solving problems rather than arguing over who's right and who's wrong. Removing anger or negative emotions is often a major part of problem solving. Many problems don't get solved until the negative or hostile emotions are dealt with. When other people are involved, it's easy for egos to surface. When this happens, good judgment flies out the window. Many customers are lost in this way. Many relationships are damaged in this way. Asking questions and listening is a terrific strategy to diffuse people's anger or hostility. When you meet their negative tones with calm, sincere understanding, they'll often change, because it takes two to do battle. Once you've gotten all the facts, the next step is to identify the cause of the problem. Every problem has a cause. Something went wrong or happened that caused every problem to occur. Problems are solved when the cause is identified and removed or remedied. This principle holds true for the customer service problems you have. Identify and remove, or change the cause, and the problem will often be solved. So let's think for a moment about what causes a lot of your problems. Think about the most common problems you experience with people on your job. Most problems can fall into these four main categories. 1. Functional. Your product or service didn't work right. 2. Human element. Imperfect people don't make things that are perfect, nor do imperfect people perfectly use or maintain them. 3. Miscommunication. People didn't listen to information, didn't get all the details, got part of the message, and jumped to a conclusion about the rest. 4. Ego. How this problem causes people to look good or bad in the eyes of themselves and others. Look at these four categories again and see if number 3 and 4 don't account for a large percent of your problems. Can't the cause of most misunderstandings be traced back to communication and emotion? It's also easy for you to allow your ego or emotions to become involved in your problem resolution. Let's be honest, it's easy, isn't it? This human element keeps many problems from being resolved.
The next step for problem solving is to discuss possible solutions. The action guides are: 1. Suggest options. 2. Ask for customers' ideas. 3. Agree on the best course of action. In this step, you'll get people involved with you in problem resolution. In a sense, you'll ask, what are your ideas about how this problem can be satisfactorily worked out? You'll ask, what options do you see? If the problem involves negative or heated emotions, this is a great way to neutralize them. When your attitude is, let's don't argue about who's right and who's wrong, let's sit down on the same side of the table and explore options about how we can solve this problem, you'll often move past hostile feelings. When you suggest options, ask for customers' ideas, and agree on the best course of action, you'll demonstrate your sincere desire to help people. The fourth step of the problem-solving formula is solve the problem. The three action guides to practice are: 1. Remove the cause. 2. Take corrective action. And 3. Ask if the customer is satisfied with resolution. Often, by the time you have reached this step, the problem has already been solved. When you've done the first three steps well, you often reach problem resolution automatically. But the key thing to remember is to follow through. When the same problems keep coming up, it's not surprising to learn that everybody understood the cause, but nobody owned it and took action.
It makes sense at this point to bring up the subject of behavior styles again. In order to solve problems with people, we need to understand their style, our style, and how they interact. Talkers become more emotional in the face of problems. They like people, and like for people to like them, so they don't like the apparent conflict that problems bring. They view problems more as conflicts between people rather than between issues. If your customer is a talker, he or she can become defensive and emotional rather than logical. If you're a talker, you may not be too keen on dealing with it in a head-on, forthright manner. Doers are problem solvers, but can leave some wreckage in their paths as they solve them. They'll probably be more interested in solving the problem to their satisfaction rather than making everyone happy. Since they are bottom-line, get-it-done people, their tendency is to call people in and lay down the law as to what the solution is going to be. Then they leave the room happy about their quick resolution, leaving everyone in either a state of shock or confusion. Controllers are good problem solvers because they are logical, organized, analytical thinkers. They don't allow their emotions to get in the way of wise decisions and solutions. The downside is that they'll often not be sensitive to people's feelings and emotions. Supporters are good at solving functional, work-related problems that involve details and process. Since they're not entrepreneurial, they don't often look for strategic problems to solve. They're conscientious and want to be accurate and do the right thing. Their egos won't get in the way like talkers or doers.
Well, as we've said, the ability to effectively solve problems influences much of your success. It all begins with your decision to increase your skills in this area. It also involves asking yourself the following questions. Do I understand the need to be a problem solver? Am I willing to display the courage that it often takes? Can I keep my ego in check? Do I focus on the needs of other people who are involved? Do I need to win or be right? How willing am I to be responsible? Answering these questions reveals your willingness and ability to solve problems. When you're willing to assume full responsibility for problem resolution, the problem-solving formula will work wonders for you. Use the problem-solving worksheets in your participant kit. Carry the pad with you or leave it on your desk, whichever will make it handy for your use. Fill in at least 5 of these worksheets this week. As you do these activities, you'll become more effective at problem solving. And as you do, your own personal effectiveness will increase, and so will your value to your organization, as well as your own personal confidence. Remember that a problem or challenge can do one of 2 things for us. It can make us stronger, or it can tear us down. When we meet it head on and try to solve it, it builds us up and makes us stronger. From that moment, we walk with more confidence and courage than before. But when we evade problems, we almost always weaken ourselves. Indecision and inaction in the face of problems usually rob us of vitality and confidence. Napoleon Hill, author of the classic self-help book Think and Grow Rich, wrote, "Every adversity carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit." Think about that for a moment. Every adversity carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. The greater benefit comes when we have a positive mental attitude and meet our problems head on.